airstrike, this time on a hospital in the besieged Gaza Strip, pushing the total death toll from the ongoing war to over 3,300. The Israeli air raid hit Al-Ahli Arab Hospital in central Gaza on Tuesday night. The Palestinian Health Ministry says at least 500 people were killed and many more wounded in the attack. That's the highest single-day death toll in Gaza since Israel launched its war on October the 7th. The hospital was packed with people who had fled from northern Gaza following an Israeli order to evacuate their homes. Israel has attributed the strike to a misfired rocket launched by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance movement, but the group, along with another resistance movement, Hamas, has denied the Israeli allegation. At least 3,300 Palestinians have been killed. Soon after the strike on the hospital in Gaza, an advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu admitted in a social media post that the regime's air force was responsible for the attack. In his post on X, Hananya Naftali claimed that the Israeli Air Force had struck a Hamas base inside the hospital. He said multiple members of the resistance movement were killed as a result. Hours later, however, he deleted the post, though screenshots of it went viral on social media platforms. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, calling for the regime's trial. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said Israel's bombardments of Gaza must immediately stop. He said Muslims around the world are angry over the regime's aggression. The leader warned that no one can stop Muslims and resistance groups if Israel continues its crimes against Palestinians. He criticized indifference to the aggression against Palestinians in the besieged territory, saying that condemning the Israeli crimes is a collective responsibility. Ayatollah Khamenei also referred to Palestinians' Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. He said those living in Israeli settlements in the occupied territories are not civilians, but they are armed settlers. The leader said the U.S. is responsible for the crimes being perpetrated against Palestinians. Ayatollah Khamenei added that evidence shows that Washington is formulating Israel's current policy toward Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Ismail Haniyeh, political bureau chief of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, calls on the international community to condemn and to take actions against Israel's deadly bombing of a hospital in Gaza.
Americans take responsibility for giving unlimited cover to this enemy to commit these massacres, war crimes, and genocide. Those who gave Israelis the cover in the UN Security Council and refused to condemn this occupation and aggression. I call all the free people, the United Nations, the Security Council and the United Nations General Assembly, legal institutions, I call the Arab League and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation for a clear condemnation of this bad massacre, for mass murder of our blood, our women, children and elderly. This silence must stop.
The Palestinian Authority's president has condemned the deadly hospital strike as a, quote, hideous war massacre that cannot be tolerated. Mahmoud Abbas said that Israel has crossed all red lines. He said it is unacceptable to talk about anything other than stopping the Israeli war on Gaza. The Palestinian ambassador to the UN also denounced Israel for carrying out the carnage in Gaza.
In this outrageous, illegal crime committed by the Israeli forces against our people in the Gaza Strip. We condemn this action in the strongest possible terms, and we hold Israel responsible for this massacre, this crime, and those responsible for this crime should face justice and should face accountability and should be, you know, punishment rising to the level of this crime committed against our people to be faced by them.
Mansour was speaking at a press conference held by the Arab group at the UN. He urged the UN Security Council to live up to its responsibilities and to urgently intervene to stop Israel's war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Palestinians have staged a strike in Ramallah in solidarity with the people in Gaza. Israeli forces have attacked Palestinians taking part in pro-Gaza protests in the occupied West Bank, killing at least two people and injuring dozens of others. Palestinians took to the streets in several parts of the occupied territories, including Ramallah, Al-Khalil, Bethlehem, and Tulkarem, to condemn Israel's deadly attack on a hospital in Gaza. They also urged the international community to stop Israel's aggression on the besieged strip, which is in its 12th day. Casualties took place as the Israeli troops used live ammunition, sound bombs, and tear gas against the protesters. Clashes were also reported between the protesters and the Palestinian Authority's forces. Meanwhile, Palestinians in the West Bank have also staged a general strike to condemn Gaza hospital attack. Since the start of the aggression on Gaza, Israeli troops have also intensified their attacks in the West Bank, killing more than 60 and injuring 1,300 others. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, speaking at the OIC, the Organization of the Islamic Conference that's taking place there. Some of the highlights of what he has said, there were 10 points that he made that he said that these need to be done. When we came in, he said the use of advanced bombs in Gaza is should be condemned. All of Iran's embassy is marked to remember the Palestinian martyrs and has called for national mourning. But let's go to some of the things that he asked to be done. I'm just going to name some of them. Islamic countries should put an end to the war crimes. Coordinated efforts need to be taken in order for this to happen, especially for Gaza. Open up corridors for aid, water, and food. Israel has to be punished. They are warmongers, and their officials and jet fighter pilots need to be held to account under court of law. The Security Council should pass a resolution in support of Palestine. Legal procedures to probe the crimes of the Zionist regime need to occur. An emergency meeting has to take place in order to do that. War crimes and violation of international law and human rights needs to be held for Israel to be held to account. A team of Muslim legal experts to be formed to protect the rights of the Palestinians. Schools, hospitals, and residences were targeted. These are war crimes. Forcible evacuations should be condemned and is a war crime. Muslim countries should sever ties with the Israeli regime and impose sanctions on Israel and its products. This kind of goes along the line of the BDS movement. And finally, there are religious figures and scholars, like in the Vatican. They need to take some measures to stop the war crimes and to stop the aggression against Muslim sanctities, like at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This OIC meeting is unlike the other ones and the other wars. This is obviously a new landscape that we're looking at. So we are hoping that through the statements of the Iranian Foreign Minister, Amir Abdollahian, the steps will be taken in order to have some accountability, first of all, and more importantly, one of the things that he promoted for it to happen, I'm sure quickly, is what I was saying in terms of the human corridors to happen there to get aid. The OIC meeting that occurred in Jeddah has issued some statements, of which one of them is to obviously condemn the brutal Israeli massacre that took place at that hospital. As to whether there's going to be any action that translate in terms of assistance, we have to wait and see. Iran's foreign minister was there, and I'm sure he's rallying support there as all signs are pointing towards that. But in order for Palestinians to see any sign of relief from anything that needs to be done, we'll have to just wait and see. Going to cross on over now and get an explanation from our correspondent Salman Khujuri here in the capital Tehran, from an area where thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of Iranians have actually come out in support of the Palestinians and in solidarity with the Palestinians, because it's sad to see so many people, Palestinians, to have been massacred by Israel killing machine, in a sense. Salman Khujuri joins us now. Well, Salman, over to you. What do you have for us? And tell us what's happening where you're at.
Well, Kala, I'm talking to you from Engelab Square. This is one of the main rendezvous for Iranian demonstrators and protesters. Thousands of Iranians have gathered at Engelab Square to cast and vent their anger and voice their protest and express their anger at what Israel has done against people in Gaza, especially what happened last night against the hospital in Gaza, and which led to the killing of hundreds of innocent children and women. Now these people are here just chanting with the U.S. down with Israel in order to voice their protest at what's going on in Gaza, besieged Gaza Strip by Israeli forces. Israel, as you know, Israel has launched attacks, devastated attacks against people, innocent people in Gaza Strip, and without any notice to a warning, without any kind of attention to international call or to the calls from the outside to stop its attack, brutal attack against Palestinians. Israel continues bombarding their residential areas and also the places where have been the shelters for innocent people, children and women. So these people that I had the chance of talking to, they said that they are very much angry at what Israel has done, at what is so much depressing is that actually the bombardment last night against the Gaza hospital led to the injury and the killing and death of hundreds and hundreds of innocent children and women who had sought actually refuge in that hospital. And most of those who were killed actually were injured during previous bombardments by Israeli forces. So this, according to these people who have gathered here at Englob Square, this is a manifestation of war crime. And as you know, Iranian officials have repeatedly said that what's going on in the Gaza Strip against the Palestinians, their innocent children and women, is a manifestation of war crimes. Also, in different countries, like Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, Turkey, and more freedom seekers, Muslims, and even non-Muslims are out on the streets. Here also, among these people, even non-Muslim people, among people who are here to voice their anger, to express their solidarity, of course, with the Palestinians, to voice their anger at what Israel is doing in the Gaza Strip, especially in besieged Gaza, and and what's being actually taking place against Palestinians who are living under subhuman conditions. Most of people in Gaza have become homeless. They have no electricity, no water, no fuel, nothing. So what we see there on the ground in practice is a kind of a devastation of life. And this is a manifestation of war crime which is being committed by Israel. And according to experts, according to analysts, Israel has no one to blame for the war with Palestinians but itself, because Hamas has repeatedly said that their recent operation named Al-Aqsa Flood is just a response to Israel's growing acts of aggression against Palestinians, especially those living in the occupied West Bank and also those living in the besieged Gaza. So these people are here, and this is only one of the demonstrations. Even in the also in other parts of the city, there were just huge demonstrations taking place also. As I'm talking to you, a couple of more large crowd of lawmakers are there in other parts of the city. Back to you, Kava, now.
Thank you. Looking forward to the coverage there. We're going to cross on over now to Gaza City to talk to our correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, who joins us. I'm sorry, in Khan Yunis. Ashraf, tell us what's happening where you're at.
Well, again, Kave, we're still in the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis, inside the Nasser Hospital. Throughout the day, scores of bodies and hundreds of injuries were brought in to the emergency room a few hundred feet behind me. Dozens of ambulances coming in, people bringing dead bodies, bringing wounded in their private cars, try to save their lives. This as the Israeli warplanes continue to bomb areas over the town of Khan Yunis, as well as all over the rest of the Gaza Strip. Almost every part of Gaza is being targeted nearly on a daily basis right now, and the situation is only getting worse. More bombardment, even as we speak right now, while there is still no electricity, no running water, hardly any kind of internet connection in the Gaza Strip. And this is taking place under the watchful eye of the international community. But as this humanitarian situation continues to deteriorate, life goes on in the Gaza Strip and in Khan Yunis. Despite all of this, people are still walking around. I've seen kids today playing soccer and other kids just watching. Surprised that they still have it in them to play soccer, knowing that any moment they could be blown up to pieces by Israeli fighter jets.
We know that obviously fuel is at a minimum and it's going to run out. And also in terms of the injured, how they're being dealt with.
Okay, let me talk first about the fact that nearly 3,500 people were killed since the start of this Israeli bloodbath against the Palestinians in Gaza, and some 13,000 others were injured. Most of them are children. And the latest number I heard is that, if I'm not wrong, It's either, I'm not sure, I wasn't sure, I heard someone saying it, it's either 15 children, 15 children a day are being killed on average, while around 16 people per hour are being killed by the Israeli regime. Hospitals are barely functioning. And when I talk about hospitals, I'm talking about the main hospitals. Main hospitals, that's the central hospital is Shifa Hospital in Gaza, and it's working on extremely, extremely limited source of energy supplied by gas stations who try to keep the hospital working, but there are no beds there anymore in Shifa Hospital. They had to bury, to hold a mass grave for the victims of the Israeli aggression. The other major hospital in Gaza is the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah. It's still functioning, but similar or worse than Shifa Hospital. But the best functioning hospital so far is this one in Khan Yunis, because before this Israeli onslaught, they had a lot of backup of fuel in their tanks. The underground tanks, they were much bigger than the ones in Gaza, for the fact that Khan Yunis itself is the biggest city in the Gaza Strip.
As you were talking, some protests that are taking place in Mansoura over in Egypt, tens of thousands have shown up there. And again, these protests break up around the world, which is, in a sense, very sad for it to come out to the fact that people have to override their officials who are not able to do anything to make sure that there's at least some kind of humanitarian aid coming through the Gaza Strip while there are people who are dying there, the Palestinians who are dying, whether they're in the hospitals or what have you.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In a more sensible world, it would be the supporters of apartheid and ethnic cleansing that would be denounced and criminalized. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, most of the leading human rights groups say Israel is committing the crime of apartheid. It began its ethnic cleansing of Palestinians three quarters of a century ago and oversees an illegal occupation that's been going on for more than half a century. During its decade and a half siege, the Zionist regime's military has killed more than 5,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Over the past days, the nuclear-armed Zionist regime has killed thousands of Palestinians, including hundreds of children. Alongside its onslaught on Gaza, the Zionist regime has also bombed Lebanon, Syria, and Egypt over the past days. Yet, it's those who have been rallying against Canada's contribution to the racist colonial enterprise who are being declared criminals by crazed politicians and supporters of the apartheid regime. Benai Brith sent a letter signed by Deputy Conservative Leader Melissa Lantzman, Senator Leo Housakas, and MP Chauve Mojader to police chiefs in Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, demanding that these rallies be stopped. They were referring to a series of emergency Palestine solidarity marches. The Prime Minister took up Benai Brith's call. Justin Trudeau tweeted, "I strongly condemn the demonstrations that have taken place and are taking place across the country in support of Hamas attacks on Israel." Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre also condemned the Palestinian solidarity rallies in Canada. Quebec Premier François Legault said opposing apartheid was shameful and unacceptable, while Ontario Premier Doug Ford declared that hate rallies have no place in Ontario. In a sign of the Jewish Zionist community's immense power in Toronto, left-wing Mayor Olivia Cho put out a deceitful Islamophobic plea to suppress protesters' rights. She wrote, "The government of Canada has rightly listed Hamas as a terrorist organization, and we simply must not tolerate any support of terror, full stop. The rally to support Hamas and Nathan Phillip Square today is unsanctioned, without a permit, and I unequivocally denounce it. Glorifying this weekend's indiscriminate violence, including murder and kidnapping of women and children by Hamas against Israeli civilians, is deplorable." Major media outlets are calling for anti-apartheid protesters to be arrested. David Cotran, host of CBS Power and Politics, asked Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly whether Canadians who went to pro-Palestine rallies should be prosecuted for supporting terrorism. In the National Post, John Evigen called for federal legislation to criminalize the protest in an article headlined, "Tolerating the Glorification of Terror and Slaughter is Societal Suicide." He cited a 2015 report by a Senate Committee on National Security that concluded that hate laws should be strengthened to ban glorifying terrorist acts and symbols. Evigen also questioned whether Section 319 of the Criminal Code, inciting hatred against an identifiable group, could be used to arrest Hamas supporters in Canada celebrating the attack on Israel. In a sign of the influence Zionist groups have built up with police departments immediately after the flare-up recently, the RCMP, Ontario Provincial Police, as well as Vancouver, Winnipeg, Hamilton, Montreal, Edmonton, Calgary, Ottawa, and Toronto police departments put out a statement that subtly criminalized Palestine solidarity. Recently, the rally Toronto police tweeted a half dozen times about Israel and hate. In a more sensible world, it would be the supporters of apartheid and ethnic cleansing that would be denounced and criminalized. In a concrete example, the Vancouverite who was killed in the occupied territories was probably induced to join that regime's occupation force by his private school. King David High School should be investigated for possibly violating the Foreign Enlistment Act, which criminalizes inducing Canadians to join foreign militaries. Zionist hate speech could also be investigated. Montreal Zionist Jewish author Lauren Weiss was caught on video telling an Arab woman that she should be raped and dragged in the street in front of your kids for having a Palestinian flag on her car. Weiss rammed the woman's car. Similarly, in a rally effectively calling for the destruction of Gaza, the head of the Federation CJA, Montreal's umbrella Jewish organization, told an audience that included multiple elected officials that the barbarians are at the gate. According to Suburban, Steve Seabag went on to say to those who will spew all sorts of condemnations against Israel's right to defend itself, we politely tell you to go away. In the upside-down world of mainstream politics, the oppressed daring to fight back against their much more powerful oppressor are designated criminals. And so are the honorable Canadians who say the Zionist emperor has no clothes. But those who defend bombing of civilians, shutting off electricity to schools, hospitals, and water treatment plants, cutting food supplies and telling Palestinian women they should be raped are not investigated for hate crimes.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. He's going to discuss Palestinian resistance and the brutal attacks of Israel on Gaza Strip. Stay with us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This khutbah is, of course, dedicated to the events that we have been witnessing in this past week or so. Of course, like many of you, we have been watching with horror, we've been watching with fear, and the situation is far more painful than you or I or anybody can put into words. I don't think I found myself, maybe as far as memory serves me, I don't think I've broken down into tears on random occasions as much as I have in the past week. Very difficult. And so we want to take some time to discuss these events that have been unfolding in front of us. Allah salawat, please. First, I have to mention, of course, that if our lives have been disrupted, if it's difficult to get on with life, if it's difficult to carry on with life, that is a sign that you're still human. It's a sign that there is still humanity within our hearts. And so if it's been difficult to continue with our day-to-day lives, it's not a bad thing, because anything other than that would be a red flag. Anything other than that would be a major sign of worry. How can we continue with life as if nothing is happening when you see the pictures that come out, you see the videos that come out, things that are difficult to put into words. That is the first point. The second point I want to make is clearly nothing that is happening has to do with religion. This is not a matter of the Jewish faith. It's not a matter of the Christian faith. It's not a matter of the Muslim faith, as sometimes some media outlets want to make it into a religious thing. This is not a religious thing. It has nothing to do that. We're a religious organization. We embrace and respect every faith out there, every denomination out there. This is not a matter of religion. This is a matter of a humanitarian crisis that's happening in front of our eyes that you and I would not expect for it to take place in 2023. You know, I remember when I was a child, 5 or 6 years old, we would go with parents to different protests, and you would hear, you know, the chants and so on and so forth, and you would assume this was stuff for back in the day when you didn't have a lens to see the crisis. Because when I was growing up, you couldn't see the crisis. Yes, all you would see is headlines. All you would see is something that some media outlet would put out. And now you, in a day and age where you can see what's happening, it is just unbelievable. Unbelievable what's happening in plain sight. So that's point number two, has nothing to do with religion. And I'm going to move on to number three. Number three is, of course, the plight of the Palestinian people has been something that's been there. Like I said, I remember being a kid, yes, and witnessing what has been happening and seeing what's been happening. But of course, this time is different. That's not my words. Any media outlets that you open up, even those of them who are not the most objective, yes, they will tell you this time is different. Yes, I saw one statistic that the bombing that's happened in the past 5 days is greater than the amount of bombing that the U.S. did in Afghanistan for a whole year in a land that is called Gaza. Yes, this is basic information, basic information. Go and Google the size of this land. Go and Google how much room you have to move around in this land, if at all. Already jam-packed. Already refugee camps. Isn't that ironic? That in a place that's being bombed, you have refugee camps that are being bombed. What does a refugee camp mean? It means this person's not from here. It means this person's not even supposed to be here to begin with. It means this person was already pushed out of his hometown and was already kicked out of his home once. And then imagine being in a refugee camp, and then they tell you, now you have to get up and go again. Except this time, there is nowhere to go. Because there's a blockade. You have no room to move around. Yes? And I will read some of the quotes from the civilians, because that's what we're referring to here. The civilians, innocent civilians. You read their words, and just the pain that their words inflict. You don't even have to take a political stance. No, just listen to their words, and their words will do all the talking that you and I have to do. So what's happened in these last 5 days? And again, this is basic information that anyone, most of you, might already be aware of. Electricity has been cut off. What does that mean? That means if bodies are under rubble, you can't even find the bodies anymore. If someone might even be alive, you can't even find that body anymore. It means basic communication is not possible anymore. It means if you want to document what's happening, that's not possible anymore. So electricity completely cut off. The basic functions of life have been cut off. Food and water cut off. You know, people living there, some of them are active on social media, so they'll share their experiences of what they're going through. So we went to the supermarket. If the supermarket is still in its place, if it hasn't been already blown to smithereens, yes? Then what happens? We went there, the shelves are empty. Like, what are you going to buy? And the owner is telling us, this is not going to get filled up. There's no more food. Water has been cut off. Yes? What does that mean? That means basic sanitary needs of a 2.2 million person population have been cut off. No water. We have doctors here in our presence, and they will be the first to tell you, without water and without electricity, how are you supposed to save the lives of wounded, innocent civilians? How can you even do that without electricity? How can you even do that without water? Children on incubators. Yes. Basic things. You cannot do that anymore. Fuel has been cut off. So what does that mean? That means even moving from one place to another place is not possible. People with nowhere to go. So far, 7 mosques, 4 universities, 1,200 homes. These are just numbers that you'll find on any news, yes, media outlet. Industrial facilities, media offices, schools, they have all already been bombarded. And it's interesting, and I'll just put this out there, that the updates that you hear are always civilian updates. You don't hear any military updates. Civilian updates. Why? Because civilians are being targeted. Because civilians are losing their lives. This is what's happening every moment.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. I saw those rockets and bombs shining in the sky, like drops of rain in the sun's light, taking away everyone dear to my heart, destroying my dreams in a blink of an eye. What happened to our human rights? What happened to the sanctity of life and all those other lies? I know that I'm only a child, but is your conscience still alive? Oh, yeah. I will caress with my bare hands every precious grain of sand, every storm, every tree. 'Cause no matter what they do, they can never hurt you. 'Cause your soul will always be free.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب
الله. In the limelight.
Washington's efforts for adding Saudi Arabia to the list of Arab countries that have signed the Abraham Accords come at a critical time when Biden is seeking re-election and the U.S. government has been left embarrassed by Saudi Arabia's bolstering of ties with Iran and Syria and its further gravitation towards China. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. Saudi Arabia reportedly reconsidered its foreign policy priorities amid the Israeli onslaught against the besieged Gaza Strip by postponing a U.S.-brokered normalization deal with the occupying regime and getting closer to the Islamic Republic of Iran. As the Israeli regime's airstrikes against the besieged Gaza Strip escalate, two sources familiar with Riyadh's thinking said on Friday, 13th of October, Saudi Arabia is putting U.S.-backed plans to normalize ties with Israel on ice. The sources added, the conflict has also pushed the kingdom to engage with Iran, stressing that Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman took his first phone call from Iranian President Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi as Riyadh tried to prevent a broader surge in violence across the region. The two sources described the delay in the U.S.-backed talks on normalization of ties with Israel as a key step for the kingdom to secure what Riyadh considers the real prize of a U.S. military pact in exchange. Both Israeli and Saudi authorities had been claiming they were moving steadily towards a so-called deal. The Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman told Fox News Channel in an interview aired recently that they get closer every day to normalization with the Israeli regime. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed during his United Nations speech last month that the regime was at the cusp of a historic normalization deal with Saudi Arabia. However, the Israeli aggression against the Gaza Strip has blocked further talks. The Israeli attack started on Saturday, 7th of October, after Palestinian resistance groups launched a multi-pronged operation, the Al-Aqsa Storm, the largest military operation against the Zionist regime in decades. The Palestinian resistance says the offensive was in response to the desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and increased violence against Palestinians. The sources underlined talks could not be continued for now, and the issue of Israeli concessions for the Palestinians would need to be a bigger priority when discussions resume. One of the sources familiar with Saudi Arabia's thinking also said Washington had pressed Riyadh recently to condemn the Hamas-led operation, but said Saudi Arabia's foreign minister, Prince Faisal bin Farhan, had pushed back. Iran's press TV has also covered the same story and tells us more. Washington's efforts for adding Saudi Arabia to the list of Arab countries that have signed the Abraham Accords come at a critical time when U.S. President Joe Biden is seeking re-election, and the U.S. government has been left embarrassed by Saudi Arabia's bolstering of ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran and with Syria, and its further gravitation towards China. The United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco signed the U.S.-brokered normalization agreements with Israel in 2020, drawing condemnations from Palestinians who slammed the deals as a stab in the back of the Palestinian cause and the Palestinian people. Recently, Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian and his Saudi counterpart have underlined the need to accelerate the development of bilateral cooperation in various fields, including economy and tourism. During a telephone conversation, Hossein Amir Abdollahian and his Saudi counterpart, Prince Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud, exchanged viewpoints on multiple areas of common interest, highlighting that relations between the two countries are improving in all areas. They emphasized the need to speed up joint cooperation in various fields, including economy, commerce, investment, and tourism. The two top diplomats went to the meeting between Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and the Iranian Foreign Minister on 18th of August in the Red Sea port of Jeddah, stressing that necessary steps should be taken on the path towards enhancement of political ties between Tehran and Riyadh. Hossein Amir Abdollahian and his Saudi counterpart also noted the significance of bilateral cultural and sport cooperation in order to improve the atmosphere of friendship between the two nations. Also, a senior advisor to the leader of the Islamic Revolution has urged the Arab states willing to normalize relations with Israel to give up the process and learn a lesson from the latest developments in occupied Palestine. The senior advisor to the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ali Akbar Velayati, made the remarks during a recent telephone conversation with Syria's Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad. Velayati said, "Those who believe they can tackle their problems through so-called normalization of ties with the Zionists and severance of relations with Muslim nations of the region should learn a lesson from the events and realize they're seriously endangering the security of the region and fighting nations with groundless and immature schemes like the formation of corridors in the volatile West Asia region." Ali Akbar Velayati added, "We warn certain governments in the region to learn a lesson from the fate of the countries that have followed the path of normalization and now cannot respond to the resistance front." In March, Iran and Saudi Arabia agreed under a Chinese-brokered deal to revive diplomatic relations severed after 7 years of tensions. Iran officially reopened its embassy in Riyadh in June, followed by its consulate in Jeddah and its representative office with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC. The Saudi embassy in Tehran and its consulate in Mashhad in northeastern Iran have also resumed operations. The Economist magazine has also covered the same story and tells us more. Amid the U.S. attempts to push for an agreement between Riyadh and Tel Aviv, a recent survey has said only 2% of young Saudi Arabians back the normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. In a recent article, The Economist highlighted the results of the 2023 Arab Youth Survey, stressing that domestic obstacles remain significant for a normalization of ties between Saudi Arabia and the Israeli regime. The Economist added, "Even a near-absolute monarchy must take some account of public opinion. According to the 2023 Arab Youth Survey, only 2% of young Saudis support normalization of ties with Israel. According to the article, Riyadh's motivation for normalization is a new strategic alliance with America, as the kingdom also pushes for developing a nuclear energy program as part of the deal with Israel. However, a group of U.S. senators have expressed concern over the security guarantees Saudi Arabia is reportedly demanding from Washington in exchange for normalizing its ties with Israel. In a recent letter, 20 U.S. senators urged the Biden administration to be cautious about any security provisions on nuclear assistance to Saudi Arabia. The letter raised concerns over the possibility of U.S. helping Saudi Arabia with a nuclear program. The senators went on to say that the provision of more advanced weaponry to Saudi Arabia should be done with careful deliberation. In order to sign a deal with Israel, Riyadh publicly asked Tel Aviv to implement the 2002 so-called Arab Peace Initiative, conditioning normalizing of ties with Israel on the establishment of an independent, sovereign Palestinian state within the 1967 borders.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. Around the world, military bases are the place where forces are supplied from. But here, they came from the military bases, mosques, hayats, universities, seminaries, and schools. A school teacher would go to fight in the war, and his students would follow him. There were many martyrs who were high school students, many who were university students, and many who were seminary students. A large number of people from the mosques and a large number of those who spoke for the people of the members served this significant movement. These people were the defenders.
There were families, housewives, and others in various sectors who were supporting the effort as well. In places where they were working to support their troops, they would wash the blood-stained clothes of the soldiers. This has been written about in the book of the Pool of the Blood, and I have mentioned this book before. The entire nation was involved in these affairs. Now, I'm not saying that every single person in the nation was involved, but this movement took place among the general public and among different levels in society. It was not limited to a group of people who would leave the barracks to fight and return.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The greatness of an event can be well understood from this factor and factors of this kind. In my opinion, dozens of clarifying and artistic works can be produced with regard to this aspect, especially with regard to this third aspect, who were the defenders. Work should not be limited to merely writing books. Now, I was just told that apparently they are making a movie based on the book The Pool of Blood. Hundreds of interesting works of art can be created like this, and God willing, they should be created. Some work has been done already, but more things need to be added. In terms of achievements, there are not limited to just a couple of achievements. If someone were to look into the achievements of the sacred defense, they could write tens of volumes of a book in the field.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor.